Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And there's nothing like a sad song, is there?
You and me against the world. Sometimes it feels like you and me against the world.
I intend to speak in opposition to Obamacare. I intend to speak in support of defunding Obamacare until I am no longer able to stand.
Remember when the circus came to town and you were frightened by the clown?
Only on The Takeaway, right? That's Senator Ted Cruz of Texas and the legendary Robert Goulet in a rare duet. We're going to talk about the political circus in the U.S. Senate a little later this hour and how brain scientists are learning that sad music can often be the high point of your day. Also, the voice of the possible next president of Afghanistan, exclusively on The Takeaway, the radio program that's dedicated to...
Think about the days of me and you. Of you and me against the world.
But enough of that. If you've been paying attention to the theatrics in the U.S. Senate, it's as simple as this.
Any member of this body that votes for cloture on this bill will be voting to allow the majority leader to fund Obamacare on 51 votes. I think that vote's a mistake. I think that vote disturbs our constituents. I think that vote hurts the people of America.
And if you're having a hard time understanding what Senator Ted Cruz is saying, you aren't alone. Here's Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
We'd all be hard-pressed to explain why we were opposed to a bill we were in favor of. And invoking cloture on a bill that defunds Obamacare, doesn't raise taxes, and respects the Budget Control Act, it strikes me as a no-brainer.
The attempt to attach defunding of the Affordable Care Act to the overall federal budget and risk a government shutdown is a road many in the Republican Party do not want to go down, while Ted Cruz, sounding like General Schwarzkopf and perhaps looking more like General Custer, is going to take this as far down the road as he can. Is it a matter of principle and philosophy within the GOP, or has Ted Cruz hijacked the U.S. Senate to produce an extended presidential campaign commercial? What's your explanation of what's going on? Love to hear it. 877-8-MY-TAKE. But joining us now, Ron Christie, Republican strategist and former special assistant to President George W. Bush, and Ben Domenech, senior fellow at the Heartland Institute and publisher of The Federalist. Welcome.
Great to be with you.
It was a pleasure.
So is this a war in the party? Is this tactics? Ron, let's start with you.
Well, I don't think it's a war within the party, John. I found it very interesting the last couple of days that some of the establishment Washington types were saying that Ted Cruz had hijacked the party and that he was trying to make this all about his 2016 presidential campaign. I think what this shows actually is a unification of conservatives. Conservatives have rallied against Obamacare. It didn't get any votes in the House when it passed. There were 178 Republicans who voted against it. Didn't get any Republicans who voted for it in the Senate. And I think what Ted Cruz is trying to do, now let's be honest, is this a political stunt? Yes. Does this have any chance of actually defunding Obamacare? No. But what I think it is doing is telling conservatives we need to rally behind the effort to get rid of this bill.
Ben, your view.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think when you look at filibusters generally, they don't tend to actually change the policies that they're designed to change. You look at Wendy Davis in Texas, you look at Rand Paul talking about drones. And I think it's a mistake to sort of evaluate what Ted Cruz is trying to do here based on a change in policy. Instead, he's trying to highlight an issue, change the focus of conversation, and I think engage in a real sort of forthright populist attack on the president's healthcare law because he views the people as being on his side. I think that that's something that's worth doing regardless of whether the policy changes. And additionally to that, I don't think that the House leadership has a view. You sometimes see a divide between sort of establishment Republicans and conservatives that one view is more legitimate or has more of a chance of success than the other. I don't think that House leadership really believes that their own plan of approach, which is tying delay, of course, to the debt ceiling, has any more of a likelihood of success in forcing President Obama to the negotiating table than Ted Cruz's own stunt, as Ron says. So because of that, I think it is something worth doing.
Well, Ben Dominic and Ron Christie, since you both seem to be in a certain amount of agreement, I'm going to have to play devil's advocate here. I mean, this is a complete waste of time. It may be a populist exercise, and it may be a political stunt that's, you know, has precedent in the Senate, but isn't the way to do this basically introduce a new bill, pass the budget, move forward, introduce a new bill, amend Obamacare, change it, repeal it, use the congressional process as it was meant to be used?
Mm-hmm. Of course, but that's the sort of thing that you have to do when you have the votes to do it. I think that one of the things that we should keep in mind is sort of the context of the vote when Harry Reid and Hillary Clinton, John Kerry and Barack Obama all cast votes to cut off funding for the Iraq War. It wasn't designed under sort of the guise that, or nor did they promise their base that it would actually end the war. It was taking a stand against something that their base believed, you know, really represented something awful and horrible. And I think that from the perspective of Ted Cruz and his supporters, the same is true.
Do you really want to make the comparison between Obamacare and the fiasco of the Iraq War in 2006?
I absolutely do, and I have in the past, in the sense, not in the sense of sort of the outcomes for the American people necessarily, but in terms of the way that the base in each respective party views the issue, which is one of, you know, essentially a core challenge to not just the future of the country, but to everything that they believe America represents.
Ron Christie?
Well, let me take this from a different tack, John. I think when you asked a few moments ago if this is a waste of time, I think what Ted Cruz is doing is actually quite politically astute. If you look back to the 2010 elections, Republicans were able to win 63 seats in the House and, of course, propel John Boehner to the speakership. And Republicans gained 763 statewide seats across the country, which then, of course, gave the Republicans control of many of the state legislatures. So I think what Ted Cruz is doing is setting up a dynamic for the 2014 midterm election, which could propel more Republicans to office, both at the state and the federal level. So a waste of time, maybe in the short term for, you know, putting pages in the congressional record. But I think this is setting up for a larger battle that Republicans are poised to win.
Well, if it's about the 2014 election, Ron Christie, why is Mitch McConnell, who's up for election in a tough race, why is he so annoyed at Ted Cruz about this?
Well, again, I think it goes back to what I was saying at the outset. I think the Republican establishment, and I would put Minority Leader McConnell in that column. I'd put many of the people that you see on TV and hear on the radio in that column. They don't like disrupting the status quo. They like to get along and ease along to get along. And I think Ted Cruz is, frankly, a breath of fresh air, given what we've seen from Republican leadership in the last several years.
All right, to both of you, Ron Christie, is Mitch McConnell dead in the water? And is Ted Cruz suddenly the front runner for 2016? Ron Christie, then Ben Dominich.
Oh, I think McConnell will win in Kentucky. And I think that Ted Cruz, along with Marco Rubio and several others, are positioning themselves for a 2016 bid.
I certainly think that Mitch McConnell will survive this election. I think that Ted Cruz ultimately may not choose to run this time, in a surprise to some people. I think that this moment, though, is a critical one in highlighting the difference in tactics and the difference in willingness to fight on the issue of Obamacare.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. Ben Dominich, senior fellow at the Heartland Institute, publisher of The Federalist, and Ron Christie, Republican strategist and former special assistant to President George W. Bush. Thank you, gentlemen.
Always very much.
This is The Takeaway.
When Americans tried it, they discovered they did not like green eggs and ham, and they did not like Obamacare either.
Senator Ted Cruz quoting Dr. Seuss as part of his effort to stall everything in the U.S. Senate. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick is with us. Welcome, Todd.
Hi, John.
So not only was Dr. Seuss evoked, just about every other literary reference in Ted Cruz's brain was evoked. What do you think is going on here? And what did you make of what Ben Dominich just said, that he doesn't think Ted Cruz is going to run in 2016?
Hey, Ted Cruz went from green eggs and ham to Ayn Rand. John, a couple of 10 minutes ago, he just got done referencing the Rebel Alliance versus the Empire in Star Wars and told Mike Lee, "I am your father." That actually happened on the Senate floor just about 10 or 15 minutes ago. So you're right. Ted Cruz has done all of the references that we love. It's been quite a debate.
But so he's compared himself to Darth Vader?
Not himself. No, in fact, he compared the Obama administration, more accurately, the Washington establishment. He was actually making a salient point, which is that people who stand up and fight against a power and oppression and tyranny, as he called it, reminded him of a reference that people of his age group would be familiar with, the Rebel Alliance versus the Galactic Empire.
Well, he's still out there. Let's listen. Here's exactly an example of just the kind of thing you've been listening to for many hours now. Here's Senator Ted Cruz in remarks on the Senate floor.
I'm reminded of a children's story. My wife, Heidi, and I are blessed to have two little girls, Caroline and Catherine, age 5 and 2. And one of my favorite children's stories, actually from when I was a kid, was The Little Engine That Could. The Little Engine That Could, the train going up that said over and over again, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. You know, I have to say, if you listen to a lot of members of this body, the message would be simple, that little engine can't.
Great technique. Sentences that don't end, lots and lots of commas, never a period.
Well, he's in hour 18, so who among us would be using complete sentences after 18 hours? John, Ted Cruz is limited here. He can't do the Jimmy Stewart-style open-ended filibuster. He will be cut off at noon under the Senate rules. Technically, this is not a filibuster, although that argument has gotten kind of semantical. The Senate is going to vote right after Ted Cruz is cut off around noon, and they'll vote to get onto this bill. Ted Cruz is going to have another opportunity to mount a long speech if he wants to. It's unclear if he will. And it's also unclear how long this debate is going to go, and that's becoming important. Here's why. There is a little bit of Republican pressure now, more than a little bit, on Ted Cruz behind the scenes to not use every minute that's available to him under the rules. Why? That would get the CR, which strips out Obamacare, passed on Sunday, sometime on Sunday. It would then have to go back to the House, and John Boehner would be jammed up against a Sunday midnight deadline to avoid a government shutdown, and it's not clear where the votes are. They're saying to Cruz, hey, you've done great. You've made a great point. You'll be out there for close to 20 hours, if not more. It's close to a record breaker, although not quite. Don't use all of your time because Republicans are going to get jammed here. And if you give Boehner a little more time, we may be able to get a little bit more out of Democrats in the brinksmanship and the negotiations here. Maybe repeal a medical device tax or something like that. So step down if you would. It's unclear if he's going to listen or where that pressure is going to go.
CR being, of course, the continuing resolution, and they're running out of patience and running out of time. So every minute really counts. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, keep watching.
Vote this afternoon.
Yes, indeed.